Have those high expectations for yourself and don't focus on will it work or won't it work, because we don't know. No one can say the future, it will or it won't work, but more, will I give it a good shot? Will I give it my best?
Welcome back to the Investor Podcast. I am your co-host, Andressa Ghidelli. And if you have been thinking about how to leverage social media in order to increase the amount of leads that you are getting and attract people that want to do business with you, stay tuned. We are interviewing Lily. She has built a very successful YouTube channel with over 200,000 subscribers. And guess what? She's only 28 years old. In today's episode, she's going to share with us very simple and powerful steps that you can take in order to do the same. So Lily, you are a top-ranked college basketball former player in the past, and at 28 years old, so proud of that, you own over a dozen of real estate properties, and you have built a very successful YouTube channel with over 200,000 subscribers. So let's dissect all of that. First, I want to start with you being an athlete. A lot of women are transferring their careers and going from being in the medical field, financial field, sports, and they feel that they're like rookies again. For you, what are the transferable skills that you are bringing from being a former athlete?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think kind of how you mentioned like making a transition or like going from one thing to the next, even just getting comfortable with that is a skill that I think you learn a lot in sports. We were talking a little bit about like the WNBA rookies and how much attention they're getting and how well they're doing. And I think that they are also in one of those transition moments, right? They're coming from being the superstars of college to now being the rookies and the newbies in the WNBA. And I think that is a skill in of itself in being comfortable, kind of restarting. Not losing the confidence that you gained from, oh, I know all of these things from my previous skills or from my previous work, and here's what I can apply, and I'm open to learning new things, right? Like, it's a new situation, I'm going to learn new things. I think I took a lot of that into like my real estate journey because I transferred between different strategies, right? So I started off with house hacking. And the things I learned from there, some of them I could take with me to wholesaling, but some things I had to learn new. And then when I went from wholesaling to burr investing, again, some of the skills were helpful, but then I needed new skills as well. So I think just getting comfortable with those transitions and knowing that things are always going to keep changing, I think that's a big one. And then, of course, with sports, one person has to win, one person has to lose. So I think you get more comfortable with failure than normal people. You could kind of just bounce back after it. And that's obviously a good skill in real estate because every deal doesn't go according to plan.
That's so important because my son is taking judo. And the first 3 months, it was hell. He hates to lose, right? And I'm like, I don't think we're going to make it. And then the sensei said, listen, we need to give time for him to be comfortable with losing and winning, right? And I think in real estate, based on what you're saying, we have this concept that we're going to go for the home run in all the deals. And that's just not the case, right? So we want to start dissecting how you were able to build a very successful brand using YouTube and how that helped you with the deals. Right? Sometimes women say, oh, I have a deal flow problem. I cannot find deals. Or I don't know how to record a video. I don't know. I don't have the time to do social media. I want to change that mindset, right? Because you build a very successful channel strategically. So help me to understand how women can use a YouTube channel in order to grow their portfolio.
Yeah, I think when you have that end goal in mind of this channel is to help me grow my portfolio in some way, then it's actually an advantage because you don't have to focus on, I need thousands or hundreds of thousands of views. You just need really a couple of strategic things in order to get deal flow. And it may not be direct deal flow. So like my channel, for example, is not a direct deal flow. It's not that people who are selling properties watch my channel and then say, oh, I want to go sell my property to her, right? So it's not that direct deal flow. But there's a few key things that you can use a channel for. One of them is authority and trust building. So my very first private lender, or maybe my second private lender, my first private lender was a cash buyer that I had wholesaled a couple of deals to, and then he became a private lender for me. But my second private lender was someone who had watched my YouTube channel. And he sent me an email and he said, man, I just love how you're showing your journey. I love, you know, you're showing the ups and downs. Seems like you've been finding some success. I don't have the time to go do a deal, but because I've watched you, can we partner? I'll bring the capital, you do the groundwork. And so I think having just like that base of content where someone can go and watch you. And then even if you have just a little blurb at the bottom, maybe in your description that says, if you're interested in partnering on a deal, fill out this form. You can have a little form that says, you know, I'm looking for private lenders, et cetera, et cetera. So getting like the connections there is a great one, especially because when people watch you on YouTube, they get to spend time with you. They get to hear your voice. They get to learn about your personality a little bit. They're more likely to feel that connection and willingness to invest with you than maybe if you talked to them for 5 minutes at a meetup, right? So that's one way. I also think another way is that there are a lot of hungry wholesalers out there. Mm. And
what do you mean by that?
Yeah. I mean, there's people who are like, man, I don't have the capital, but I'm willing to work, right? Like I'm willing to cold call. I'm willing to door knock. I'm willing to drive for dollars. And they may not know exactly what they need to do to send a good deal. But if you can give some guidelines, maybe on your channel, oh, I'm looking for deals of this many bedrooms and bathrooms, you know, in these areas, if you find anything, I'll pay X amount, right? Now, there could be a situation where you have wholesalers who are out there looking for deals for you, and then they're sending them to you because they got to know you through your YouTube channel. So while you may not reach sellers directly, I think there's really an opportunity to network, both with people who could send you deals and both with people who could fund your deals.
100%. And I think, you know, establishing your authority and creating that relationship, I feel that many times it's like one-way relationship. They know you, but I have no idea who they are. And they talk to me if I know them. I don't know if you had those experiences. Some of them are a little creepy sometimes because they approach me and they're like, how is your son doing? Is he feeling better? I was like, how the hell do you know? He was not feeling good.
Exactly.
Oh, I listened to your podcast. Oh, I forgot I shared that.
Yep.
Right. Yep. But the point is you create that relationship versus, hello, my name is so-and-so and this is what I do. Right. The challenge for a lot of women, and you might share your own experience, is that they want to be perfect on camera. They want to say the right things. Ladies, for God's sake, I can barely speak English and I probably make a lot of mistakes speaking here that I don't know I did it, but who cares, right? We're continuing the journey here until somebody tells me, no, that's not it. It's that way. But there you go. But there is this self-awareness or requirement that women like, oh, that's horrible. Let me record again. And let me record again. And then they have this high level standard of video and they ended up not posting as often as they should or, you know, not even posting at all.
Yeah.
So did you have that sense of like lack of confidence at the beginning and how did you overcome that?
Yeah, I totally did. I think it's normal. And unfortunately, like as women, we're often told like, you have to do this. You have to be perfect. You have to be completely put together. And I even remember being jealous of like the male YouTubers who just like, they just no hair, no makeup, same shirt, t-shirt every time. Right. And then they just go and it's like, oh man, I have to put on makeup. I have to do this and all of that. Right. So I definitely feel that pressure. And I remember the moment where it started to change for me. And it's been a journey, right? Like it wasn't just one moment where I stopped caring. And I do still care about certain parts of it. But where I started to like release some of that control was I would spend hours making sure that a video was perfect, both that I tried to look perfect and every word I said was perfect and the edit was perfect and all of these things. And it would take me hours to put out that video and then it would flop, get no views, right? And then I remember there was a deal that got stolen from me early on when I was a wholesaler. One of my cash buyers went around me, went directly to the seller and cut me out of the deal. And I was so just like dejected, right? Because I had put so much time and effort into it and I was making a YouTube video about it. And so I wanted to show people like the success of this deal. And I've been working so hard to like show the success. And then it's like, well, now I have nothing to show for it. And I don't know why, but I just sat down, I put up my camera, and I don't even think I used my big camera. I just used my cell phone. I put up my cell phone and I was just like talking to the camera. I was just like, oh my gosh, like this is what happened. Like I'm so upset, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't have any makeup on. It was like late at night and I posted it. And I think I titled the video like, I'm ready to quit wholesaling or something like that. And so many people watched that video, but also so many people commented that they had had the exact same experience and that they appreciated me just being honest and raw and open about it. And that was the first moment where I was like, man, that video, I put no effort into making it perfect. And it not only did so well, but it really connected with people. And that's the piece that I think we as women have to remember, is that we are making content not to showcase the perfection of our lives. No one wants to watch like the perfect anything. Even think about like the Kardashians. They may seem quote unquote perfect, but their show is all about drama. It's all about all the things that go wrong, right? I mean, I don't watch it, but whenever I see clips on like social media, it's always fighting or this or that. No one wants to watch perfect. We're making content to connect. And it's those things about our journey that are not perfect or that are, oh my gosh, I got a deal. This is so exciting. And, you know, I just turned on the camera. Those are the things that I think connect with people, keep people coming back, and make it so that you can keep doing it. If I had to make every video perfect for the last 4 years, I would have stopped a long time ago.
Oh, 100%. And I, Liz and I always say, listen, if you're going to like me, you're going to like me for who I am, and that's good. And if you don't like me, that's fine. Keep scrolling. I think, you know, it takes a lot of energy to put a mask on and to be somebody else. And for God's sake, why would I even do this? Like, why would I even spend my time here pretending? I'm not an actor, right? So if you like it, great. If you like the content, great. If you don't like it, keep going, right? It's totally fine. I think there was a, sometimes I curse just for like out of passion, not to piss somebody off. I just like, this is what it is, right? And I cursed over here and I curse on stage. I curse and I ask permission other people's stage to say, can I curse? I say, sure, go ahead, right? And then I had a lady that she's like, well, that's not ladylike. I was like, what word did I say? She's like, you said shit. I was like, oh, come on.
Ah, oh, get out of here.
come on. Right? So that's not my interpretation of things. And I think that I own it. I own that people might not like it. And if they're offended, apologize in advance. I say that all the time. I apologize in advance to you if you feel offended. Well, I can be somebody else. Can I become my best version? And we're going to talk about it as I progress. Yes, but that's who I am too, being raw and as authentic as possible. And I think sometimes it's a challenge on social media because there is a kind of like a standard, right? You need to be that, or you need to receive this amount of likes, this amount of comments. How do you manage that though? And not make your worth the equal amount of likes or views or subscribers?
Yeah, I have a good trick for this one. So like someone might say, oh, I got 50 views, right? And they might say, oh, that's so low, right? I can't believe it. And I say, imagine you walk out of your house and on your front porch are 50 people who are like, tell us your opinion. Tell us what you think about that thing. You'd be like, oh my goodness, this is so many people, right? And I think because it's the internet, the numbers get inflated, right? And it's even hard for me to think of like 200,000 people deciding to hit subscribe. That doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm just sitting in my spare bedroom by myself talking to a camera, right? Or I'm just bringing a camera with me as I go to a property or something. So the numbers, they get so inflated, and it's hard to even think realistically about our content and how well or not well it's doing. So I love to think about, what if I was just walking down the street, or I was just walking out of my house, and I said, I have an opinion on real estate. And 50 people came over and said, okay, yeah, what do you have to say? We want to hear it. Like, we would be blown away. And so I always think of it that way, because I think it's just unrealistic to think of all the inflated numbers on the internet, when in actuality, it's still just people. It's just people to people. If I had 50 people interested in what I was saying, I'm pretty sure I could find a cash buyer. I could find a private lender. I could find someone who knows someone who knows someone who wants to sell a property. Like, we don't need as much as we think we do in terms of views and engagement.
Sometimes Facebook brings memories, right? Of like, years ago, this is what was happening. And you brought it to Liz and I in February, I think, years ago, when we started our first meetup, and we were celebrating that we had 10 people attending, right? Today, we have over 50 locations, 23,000 people in it, and all of that. But I think people also don't celebrate the wins, the milestones, and the progress. And they're just in the gap. By the way, Gap in the Game, the book Gap in the Game by Dan Sullivan, highly recommend. Because they're always in the gap thinking, oh, this is how I should be doing. But they're comparing themselves with other people versus comparing themselves with themselves in the past. But here's my question to you. You're 28 years old, correct?
Yep.
I do not know a lot of 28 years old that have a way of being that you have. That have the properties that you have. Like, what happened? Like, I need to understand, like where, who, when, like, because the next generation, it's so, so, so important, right? And I think that you are already a role model for the 20s, because I am on my 40s, and I can relate to the people on my 40s, but we need more examples of 20-year-old young ladies that are setting the tone for the next generation. Because a lot of that 20-year-old generation are not even thinking about what you're saying here.
Yeah.
So help me, Lily, help me to understand, like, what happened? Who did it? Or how did you have that mindset?
Well, I think first I can give credit to my family. Both of my parents are amazing. They both were in the Army. They both retired from the Army. And I'm also the youngest of six kids. So
six.
So
oh, kudos to your dad and mom.
I know. Three boys and three girls. And I'm the youngest. So I always grew up chasing around my older siblings, both in sports and just in life. All of my siblings are super smart. They all did really great in school. And so I don't have any kids yet. But I think one of the things that my parents did for me that I hope to do for my future children is what I call like the gift of high expectations. You know, I think that my parents just expected us to do well in school. They expected us to try our best. They expected us to, you know, do things that were going to keep moving us forward, always at an age appropriate level, but they had high expectations for us. And I think that when you just grow up with high expectations, or when you have high expectations for yourself, you just naturally try to, you know, take those steps and take those steps forward. And it doesn't always work out, but I have always just like tried to do a new thing, tried to do the next thing. I remember I used to do the lemonade stand out front of my house, right? And my parents would let me. They would let me waste the sugar and waste the lemons and go outside and set up the stand. But I was always business minded. And so they were like, okay, if you say you are interested in this, go try it. So I tried it. And I remember I used to sell candy at school. I used to ask my dad to take me to Costco and buy candy in bulk, right? Just get like a big thing of Snickers bars. And then I would have a second backpack and I would go sell them at school for a profit.
And look, I got into wholesaling candies.
Yeah, exactly. I got in trouble because you're not supposed to do that at school, whatever.
Sure.
But I just, you know, they just always encouraged me to, if I say I'm interested in something, to actually go try it. And so I think it was normal for me. And I think what people can make normal for themselves is when I said that I'm interested in something, real estate being the example here, it wasn't about will I fail or will I succeed. It was about will I try it. And so I say on my channel that when I started, my goal was I'm going to make 100 offers and make 100 YouTube videos before I quit. And if no one watches and no one cares and I don't get any deals, so be it. But I will at least try 100 times. And I don't know where I got the number 100 from. It just seemed like a good number. But I think that is something that I think a lot of young people and everyone can do, is have those high expectations for yourself and don't focus on will it work or won't it work, because we don't know. You know, no one can say the future, it will or it won't work, but more, will I give it a good shot? Will I give it my best?
I love that. And I wanted to talk to you about your young African American women. What are the challenges that you have faced?
That's a good question. I think there's always, one, the challenge of stepping into a room and knowing that in some way you may not fit in, maybe in multiple ways, right? And so maybe it's I'm younger than everyone here, or I'm a woman, or I'm a different race than everyone here, or I have less experience than everyone here, or I'm not from this town. That was another thing with like being in the military. I moved every 3 years. So you can walk into a room, it's like everyone has known each other forever since they were kids, and I'm the newbie. So I think we always have that in our head. Whatever way we see ourselves as different, when we walk into a room, it can hold us back. So I just try to say I deserve to be here just as much as anyone else. Right? I'm here for the same reasons. I'm here to learn and to contribute and to connect. So that's one way that I approach it. And then honestly, like when there are people who don't like me, similar to what you said, I'm okay with that, right? Like there will be people who don't like me. And honestly, it's none of my business why. Maybe it's because I'm Black. Maybe it's because I'm young. Maybe it's because I'm a woman. Maybe they just don't like the color red and I wear red too much. Maybe they're just having a bad day and it has nothing to do with me. So if that's the case, so be it. I think there's plenty of people out there who are my people, who are the ones that I will connect with. And I've had amazing experiences connecting with many, many people who both look like me and don't. And I've had people who, for whatever reason, we don't connect, and that's okay.
And I think that's what boils down to, right? Connecting. So building a YouTube channel and sharing your journey in social media is really connecting with the people that are in alignment and repelling those that aren't, right? So I'm talking about you, lady, that you are listening to me right now and you've been thinking about it and like, oh my gosh, how can I do this? Well, you don't know how to build a channel, Google it.
Yeah.
Google it and you're going to open up a YouTube channel, how to build a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to make sure we give them, Lily, like three things that they can do in order to optimize their YouTube channel and start really sharing authentically their journey. What would you say three things that they can do right now?
Okay, three things you can do right now. First is you can write down what you know now that you didn't know 6 months or a year ago. So I'm sure that there's something that you've learned or changed your mind about. And write that down. Those are your video topics. Just to start. Then the second thing that you can do is whatever recording device you have is fine. I started on my cell phone. That's fine. If you have a laptop and you have a webcam, that's fine. You are just going to record yourself talking about that thing. And I don't even care if you post that video. It's just about recording, talking, et cetera. And then the last thing that I think is really important that a lot of people miss out on is you're going to give people a way to get in touch with you. And I always call this a call to action. It shouldn't just be in your description. It shouldn't just be in your profile. But in your video, you are going to tell people what to do in order to contact you in the way that you want them to contact you. Whether it's, I'm looking for deals in the Sacramento, California area for houses built before 1950. If you have any details about that, email me at blank. Or I'm looking for private investors who want to partner on deals and earn 15%. If you're interested in that, there's a link to fill out a form in the description. I think a lot of people put so much effort into making the video and then they don't tell people what to do next. So we have to remember, like, what outcome do we want? So those are the three things. Like, think about what you know now that you didn't a couple of months ago. Just get out your best recording device that you have, whatever it is. Record yourself talking about that transition, about how you learned that or what you learned. And then third, tell people how to get in touch with you to help you.
I love that, because the last piece is so crucial, right? You got to tell people where to go and what to do next versus have a great day.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a great day. Peace out. I think when I look back, right, we're approaching 500 episodes here. And our first episode really sucked. It really sucked.
Same as my first video.
It was horrible. We recorded so many times and I don't think it was even a video. Thank God. It was just audio. But I think that the theme here that we've been talking is like the reps, right? How many reps you're going to be doing it and really flexing that muscle for yourself, independently of what people are going to think or judge or say. So it's all about like my self-esteem and self-confidence. How do you maintain yours? What do you do?
I don't really let comments get to my head, both the very negative ones and the very positive ones.
That's a good point, and I need to emphasize that. Because you're not letting the negative affect you, but you're also not letting the positive affect you.
Yeah, I think you can get sidetracked by either, right? You can get sidetracked by people who think, oh my goodness, you're the best, greatest in the world and you can do no wrong, which is not true, right? There's still always something to learn. Or you're horrible and you should never pick up a camera again, which is also not true. So I try not to get sidetracked by those things. And also, me personally, my channel is and has always been about documenting my journey. I am simply showing what's happening as I go on this journey towards financial freedom. And so because I look at it that way, there's going to be ups and downs. If I expected that my journey just went like this, that would just be unrealistic. And so for me, I think when I think of it as documenting a journey rather than being an expert, I don't have to only show perfection. So I don't get so down when it's not perfect.
Take the pressure off.
Yeah, take the pressure off. It's all good. Oh,
for God's sake, let's take a deep breath, right?
Yeah.
And then you're just simply being who you are and allowing people to, then I think that that's the key. Then people feel that they can relate to you. You're not in this freaking pedestal.
Yep.
And so far, far, far away, they're like, I can't even relate to that. How can I possibly think that that's possible in my life?
Right.
And I think that you're going to attract people that are looking to do that. So for ladies, whatever you are in your journey, you don't need to be at a certain stage in order for you to get started building your brand, your YouTube channel, your social media channel, whatever you are, share the lessons, the mistakes, as Lily was saying, what you didn't know. And that, like, people, especially women love to help women, right? What's going on over here? And I think we are in the era where TikTok, it's content, it's entertainment, it's being raw and sharing all the things that are really not perfect. None of those videos on TikTok are fully edited. And that's what I think we need to feel more comfortable day in and day out to simply turn the camera on and start shooting.
I actually think YouTube is also going in the same direction. YouTube's going in the same direction as TikTok in the sense that the highly edited, completely perfect, high-paced, people are getting a little bit tired of it. And even Mr. Beast, right, who's the biggest YouTuber and who's known for doing videos like that, his recent videos, he's come out and said, we're going to turn that down a little bit and be a little bit more authentic because that's what people are connecting to. There's so much content out there. We're fed things so much that we're craving the authentic.
I love that so much because then I can curse around. No.
Yeah, there you go. Just curse. It's cool.
Lily, thank you so much. Where people that are listening can hear more about you?
Yeah, I think the best place to connect with me is on my YouTube channel. That's where I'm documenting my journey. And it's just Lily Invests, L-I-L-I, and then the word invests. You can find me there.
Awesome. And we're going to add Lily's website and YouTube channel on our show notes. Lily, thank you again so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.